This is Kirsty Allsop.
And I'm Dr. Sam Godfrey. This is Stand Up to Cancer, the podcast. One in two of us will be diagnosed with cancer. And that's why it's important that we all understand the science of cancer. As they say of all great battles, you must know your enemy before you can defeat them. Today's episode leads us into the belly of the beast itself, as we find out what it's like living with incurable bowel cancer.
There's the fear that you're going to say the wrong thing, so the assumption is it's almost better to say nothing at all.
This is Stand Up to Cancer, the podcast.
Sam, are we winning the battle against cancer?
Yes, we are. More people are now surviving longer than ever before. Diagnosis is better, treatments are better. We've almost got cancer on the ropes.
But when's the knockout blow coming?
It's coming. It won't be today, but it's coming.
Cancer Research UK have just done this analysis that over the last 30 years, survival rates for cancer have moved from 1 in 4 to 1 in 2 of patients are now living alive 10 years after their cancer diagnosis. That's a fantastic change, and I've seen those changes in my practice.
That's Professor Tim Morne of Oxford University. He's been one of the scientists leading the charge against cancer for 32 years. He's right. More than half of cancer patients are surviving more than 10 years. We're going to get that to 3 in 4. And Tim is one of those who's trying to get us there.
The disease that I'm particularly interested in is bowel cancer. And actually what we have discovered and what's the basis of the research that I'm doing is trying to understand the way different bowel cancers vary between one another and the way that that influences the way they behave, how aggressive they are, and which treatment they might respond to.
When Stand Up to Cancer talks about doing whatever it takes, Tim's trial is exactly what we mean. It's the most advanced of its kind in the world.
The trial Focus 4, which is what we're doing, it's open in 90 hospitals across the country, is a massive undertaking. There are 30 or so people working on the trial. We're using 2 research labs to do the tests. So it is a massive undertaking.
This is real mobilising of the troops stuff.
We call it a rebellion against cancer, and the idea of any good rebellion is to attack from all angles.
Just like there are different sorts of germs that we have in our environment, there are different varieties of cancer. So that you end up that every patient coming through the door of the clinic, their cancer is different from anyone that I've ever seen before. So what we need to do is find ways that we can group people together so that we can identify cancers that are similar to one another and will respond similarly to specific treatments. That's what we're trying to do.
There are going to be thousands of volunteer trial patients involved in this. Each one of them is going to have their cancer studied right down to its DNA, the tiny detail, so that Tim and his team can find out the similarities and work out how best to kill it.
It's like fighting a monster.
I suppose it is in a way. We've had enough of cancer rampaging around. If this was a movie, I think we'd be at that end, you know, just after the montage when the helicopters appear on the horizon. We're not there yet, and we've got a long way to go, but we are getting prepared for that final battle. And Tim's trial is already producing results that maybe could help people this year.
But one of the exciting things is that one of the trials we're just about to open has come out of some fascinating science that's been done in the institute where I work here by one of my colleagues, Tim Humphrey. And it's a very interesting observation that he made looking at very basic science in yeast genetics. And that's had tremendous relevance to the treatment of cancer with one of the drugs that one of the companies has developed. It's a new insight into the way this drug might work. And we're going to be testing that in these patients with bowel cancer starting later this year.
That's a discovery that was made just 18 months ago, being brought to patients right now. That's really fast. And it's the sort of thing Stand Up to Cancer exists for. We need to get new treatments into people faster.
There's a story I want to tell you this week about a man who has stage 4 bowel cancer.
Stuart Riddle, based in Edinburgh, aged 53. It's a pishy wet day and had a busy morning.
Stuart is a father of 3 from Edinburgh.
The actual day of diagnosis was the 12th of March 2013. The lead surgeon and his number two appeared at my bedside and they pulled the curtain round and told me that I had two tumours, one of which they'd be able to operate on, but the other was wrapped around a major artery, so they wouldn't be able to do anything with that. The curtain then went back and I was left sitting there, I would say, feeling pretty vulnerable and pretty exposed. There were three other guys in the ward. You know, the curtain is great at blocking out the view, but it doesn't block out the sound. Two of the guys actually couldn't look at me, and the guy directly opposite me just gave me an almost kind of imperceptible nod, as if to say, you know what, pal, I heard the news you've just had, and I'm sorry. A lot of people do not know how to deal with it. You know, I have been told by a couple of people I know that they saw me in the street and they deliberately avoided me because they simply didn't know what they were going to say. And I don't blame people for that, because I think I would have been the same before I had my diagnosis. There's the fear that you're going to say the wrong thing, so the assumption is it's almost better to say nothing at all. I was diagnosed with colon cancer, and I had one tumour in my upper transverse colon and one wrapped round the major artery going into my stomach. So I was told that they could remove the one in my colon, but they couldn't do anything with the other one. But they did say to me that it was treatable. So I immediately latched on to that, thinking, oh, well, that's fine. And I was sending messages to people saying, well, bad news is I've got cancer, but the good news is it's treatable and it's been caught early. And, you know, where I got the idea that it had been caught early from, I don't know, because it's maybe just wishful thinking and trying to be positive. But a couple of weeks later, when I was transferred from the surgical team to the oncology team, I found out that I was stage four and incurable, which was a huge shock. And all my bravado at the outset just disappeared for a short while. My wife had been in the hospital with me in the morning, and I phoned her as soon as I had the visit from the doctors. She told both my daughters, who at the time were 17 and 13, but my son was away at university. He was 19 at the time, and I had to phone him and tell him. They're all very strong, and they all have been incredibly strong about it. Everybody connected with you kind of takes the lead from you as the patient. And if you're seen to be, in my case, I was kind of chest puffed out and thought, right, I'm going to tackle this. You know, it kind of sets the tone. And what really prompted me to do that was my youngest daughter came into the hospital to see me 24 hours after the diagnosis. And she said to my wife in the car on the way home, that when she'd arrived, her knees had been shaking. She was incredibly nervous. And then she said, sorry, this is quite difficult. She said, I'm so glad he's still dad. Just that word, cancer, had somehow made her feel that I would be a completely different person. And that's why I want to stand up to cancer. It's why I feel that you have to tackle it head on, and why you have to use the word as often as you can, because we have to try and remove the fear factor that the word itself generates. In December this year, I'll be 3 years post-treatment, and at that point, the risk of spread and growth will drop down a lot. And, you know, I've had very positive reaction to all the chemotherapy and radiotherapy that I've had. So I've been very lucky in that I've responded extremely well to treatment.
I can't imagine what it must be like to go through an experience like that and emerge with that amount of positivity. Stuart's treatment is going well, but there are many people who've been less fortunate. Defiance is the fuel for Stand Up To Cancer, We're this big group of rebels who are all refusing to accept this.
And anyone can join.
Anyone, whether they're affected by cancer or not, can stand up against it. With support, we absolutely will, be able to one day say to people like Stuart, you have cancer. But you know what? We know how to stop it.
Next week on Stand Up to Cancer, the podcast,
we address the unmet needs in cancer treatment. And Dr. Colin Watts reveals the remarkable work he's doing to make cancer cells easier to spot in the brain.
So that allows us to distinguish brain that we'd like to leave behind and the patient would like to leave behind even more from the disease that everybody wants us to remove.
For too long, cancer's been fighting dirty. It's been targeting grannies, going after kids, and coming back for the same people over and over again, even taking cheap shots at our breasts and testicles. It's got to the point where one in two of us will be diagnosed with cancer, and that totally sucks.
Now is our time to act, to say F that. Time to use whatever means necessary, no matter how ridiculous, to lay the smackdown on cancer.
To help fund the rebellion against cancer, text AUDIO to 70404 right now to give £5 plus one standard message rate. 16 plus only, and you must have the bill payer's permission. It closes on the 31st of March 2017. Full T's and C's are available at sutc.org.uk/terms. 100% of your donation will go to Cancer Research UK in support of the Stand Up to Cancer campaign. Stand Up to Cancer and the Stand Up to Cancer brand marks are registered trademarks or trademarks of the Entertainment Industry Foundation. Cancer Research UK is a registered charity in England and Wales, Scotland, and the Isle of Man.